Joel 3:14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now would you read that aloud with me? Ready? Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would meet with us this morning, please, God. And Lord, I believe we're assembled here for a purpose, a reason this morning. And perhaps, Lord, this is one of those valley of decisions for someone in this room this morning. Perhaps someone here is without Christ as their Savior. If they were to die right now, they have no peace in their heart as to whether or not they'd be in heaven. And Lord, maybe they look at death through eyes of fear and wonderment. I pray, Lord, that they'd find the peace that can only come through salvation, that can only come through Jesus Christ. And Lord, maybe there's Christians here that are facing some decision in their life. Lord, I pray that we can assist them through your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us. Now help me as I preach this morning. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help and a strengthening to your people, God. And I pray, Lord, for the junior churches, the children's church, primary church, all the different services that are going on in this same plant, Lord. We don't want to forget them or fail to pray for them. Bless everyone that's either teaching or preaching in any of these services. And, Lord, I pray that maybe you'll open the heart of some child, Lord, to the understanding of the gospel, even this morning, that they'd be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Joel chapter 3, verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, without reading the entire chapter, let me help you as far as where we're at. Although the prophet Joel is often referred to as one of the minor prophets, on this day in his life, God allowed him to look down the corridor of time and see and record a most major event. Verse 14 refers to a valley. Now watch this and pay attention to the verses. It refers to a valley of, notice this, decision. Not decisions, decision. It's not the plural, it's the singular. You see, in Joel chapter 3, verse 14, the name of this valley, and the valley that's being referred to, is Armageddon. The decision that these multitudes have made to come to this valley will be their final decision. Be their final decision. You see, a battle will be fought in this valley. You see, this prophetic event takes place at the end of 7 horrible years of great tribulation. Those of you who know a little bit about prophecy in the Bible, you're with me on this, aren't you? The Battle of Armageddon will be fought at the end of 7 horrible years of great tribulation. The rapture of the church is now just a distant memory. For 7 years, God has poured out his wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world. Now comes the final battle. We read in Revelations that Jesus is mounting a white horse, preparing to rend the universe asunder. His eyes are flames of fire, and upon his head, the Bible says, are many crowns. Cheer goes up as he mounts his steed. The cheer rises from the lips of those who have been redeemed. If you're here and you're saved today, you'll be part of that crowd, that heavenly army clothed in fine linen, white and clean. This great multitude, as they mount up upon amazing immortal horses, begin to chant a name over and over again. By the way, on that day, they do not chant Jesus or Christ or Savior, but instead, the name he is called on this day is the Word of God. The Word of God. In a few moments, he'll lead his army to the valley of Armageddon. As he nears the earth, a sharp sword, the Bible says, will proceed out of his mouth and will smite the nations. It's amazing. It will annihilate all those who have made the decision to gather there against him. Everyone who stands against him on that day will be slaughtered. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. This may be a little horrific, a little too graphic, but let me just say, the Bible says their bodies will empty upon the ground, their life's blood. So great will be the flow of the blood of those who are slain that the Bible tells us it will become a great and grotesque flowing lake as deep as the bridle of a horse. Now I want to remind you, they made a decision to be there. Why would the people, why would anyone in their right mind gather in this valley? Why would they be so foolish as to make a choice to try and fight against the Son of God? What hope do they think that they honestly have of winning this battle? Why make this final and foolish decision? Now listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. This last decision is not their first decision, but the end result of a series of bad decisions. You see, this is not the only decision valley they have ever experienced. Where they end up at the end of their life is the result of many such valleys and many decisions in years gone by. Now, think with me a minute. Make sure I turn this on. Think with me a minute. Who's in that valley? I'll tell you who's in that valley. Some of the people in that valley are people that heard the gospel before the rapture, heard the gospel and had a chance to be saved, and could have been saved and could have been up in the rapture and never had to go through the 7-year tribulation period. But you know what? When they came to those valley of decisions in their lives, they made the wrong decision and they kept making wrong decisions, and now they're clear over here at the end of their life and they're making one last final fatal decision. How did they get here? Made a bunch of bad decisions over here. By the way, some of these people, before the rapture happened, had never heard the gospel. And guess what? God being merciful, we talk about the great tribulation period, and we talk about the wrath of Almighty God, but folks, the tribulation period is also a time of great mercy. In fact, two of the greatest revivals in the history of mankind, I'm talking about evangelistic revivings, will happen during this great tribulation period. 144,000 witnesses will be turned loose to spread the gospels to the ends of the earth. The Bible says they won't stop till everyone is heard. So some of these are in this valley, but they hadn't heard the gospel before the rapture, but they heard it after the rapture, and they had an opportunity to be saved. And then he sends his two witnesses, and they perform mighty acts, and they talk about turning to God. And let me tell you something, but even during the tribulation period, they went through valleys of decision. They had opportunities, but they made wrong decisions, and now they're over here in this final valley making this final decision. Why? Because they made a bunch of wrong decisions that ended up putting them where they are. They didn't have to be there. They just made a series of really foolish decisions. I met not too long ago with a businessman. Had a chance to talk to him. And I've known this man for years and years. And I think if most of the world looked at him, they'd think he was pretty happy and pretty successful. But let me tell you something, he's miserable. He's unhappy. Not because he's lost, because he is saved. At least if the testimony of his lips is true, he's a saved man. We began to talk, and I began to ask questions about how he was doing, and he began to weave a tale of a broken life and broken dreams and unhappiness. And he said something to me. I want to tell you what he said, and I remember word for word at least as close as I could. He said this. He said, "Brother Jerry, life is just a series of decisions." Are you listening, young people? Life is just a series of decisions. Every decision you make takes you towards God or away from Him. "Brother Jerry, I am now dearly paying for some bad decisions I have made in my youth." And by the way, we talked because he was facing a horrible no-win decision. But let me tell you, he didn't get there in one step. He was facing this bad decision because of a whole lifetime of bad decisions. Are you listening to me?
I want to preach on this subject this morning. Be careful in the valley of decision. Be careful in the valley of decision. I want you to really set up straight and tall and listen and give me a hearing this morning. You see, young person, this morning's message may not seem very relevant to you or very important in this day and hour. But let me tell you this. You can make a decision this week that's setting you up for an Armageddon-type decision in your future. And nobody ends up at the end of a dead-end road overnight. They end up on a series of wrong turns. And the decision that you make this week as a 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old young person is vitally important to where you may or may not be 10, 15, 20 years from now. You see, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is at hand in the valley of decision. Now let me give you a few things to consider. Number one, in every Christian's life, there are mountaintops and valleys. Let me just give you that. I don't want you to feel alone. Say, Brother Jerry, I'm in a valley. I'm in a valley this morning. I look around at other people and they everyone else seems like they're on the mountaintops. Well, that doesn't mean they are. Why am I the only one? Well, you're not the only one. The Christian in this room this morning that's experiencing the highest mountaintop in a few months could be in the lowest valley. And the honest truth is, the Christian that's in the lowest valley within a few months could be on the highest mountaintop. We all experience the mountaintops and we all experience the valleys. I'm going to have you go over to Matthew chapter 3 and I want to teach you a little something that I hope will be helpful and practical to you. Matthew chapter number 3, I preached an entire message on this called the cycle of growth. But let me just give you this thought in a nutshell, because I think Jesus shows us a pattern of growth or a pattern of development that we're all going to have to go through, not just once, not just twice, but over and over and over and over and over again. I guarantee you that every Christian in this room is somewhere in this cycle of growth that I'm going to cover. In Matthew chapter 3, verse number 13, we see an amazing mountaintop experience for the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 3:13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him, but John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Notice this. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Wow! Wow! You talk about a mountaintop experience. I mean, this is the day of his baptismal, and God himself speaks from heaven, and the Holy Spirit visually comes and rests upon him, and God proclaims his pleasure over his Son. Wow, this is his coming out party. He's beginning his ministry. Mountaintop. Have you ever had a mountaintop experience? Are you enjoying a mountaintop experience? Look, if you will, in chapter 4, verse number 1. And remember, folks, the chapters and the verses, the breakdowns weren't originally there. The next word after well pleased, I am well pleased, the next word then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I'm going to have you look at one more verse before we won't read all the rest of that, but jump ahead now, verse number 11. Let's read 10 and 11. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now let me share something with you, because especially those of you that are newer Christians, you need to know what happens and how this whole thing of spiritual growth happens. Brother Jerry, I got saved recently. Woohoo! Buddy, I can't wait. From this point on, it's going to be all uphill. And all God's people said, Yeah, right, brother. You know, let me show you how you grow in the Christian life. Let me show you this. You're going to experience mountaintops, and then you're going to experience valleys. And the mountaintops are going to be wonderful, and the valleys are going to be unbelievably difficult. And then, when it gets about as bad as it can get and looks like you can't make it, the angels are going to come minister to you, and the Lord's going to chase the devil off, and you're going to have a little time of rest. and restoration, and that will build you back up to a mountaintop. And don't get too excited while you're up here, because you know what's next? Guess what? You get to do it again. Well, so Brother Jerry, this seems awful cruel. It's not cruel. It's the best way to grow. Are you hearing me? It's the best way to grow. So this is what God intends. We want to start here and say, we're saved. Oh boy! And we want to get right up to here. And God says, you're saved. Now let me help you to grow. Let me establish some things in you. Let me build your faith. Let me strengthen you. And this is how he does it. You got up here, didn't you? But not the way me and you like to get up there. And you see, the honest truth is, folks, it's very necessary for us to go through some valleys. Are you listening to me? It's very necessary for us to go through some valleys. See, Jesus had his mountaintop experience. And notice this, he was thrust into the wilderness. The Bible says for 40 days he was tempted of the devil. Now, we're only given three instances of this temptation. But Mark tells us for 40 days he was tempted of the devil. Not one day where Satan came and tempted him three times. This was nonstop. This was a satanic attack for 40 days. A lot of times this is what happens to a new Christian. I want to help you new Christians, okay? You get saved, and buddy, getting saved, salvation is a mountaintop experience. A lot of time a new convert thinks, boy, from here it's just going to be up, up. And next thing you know, boy, the devil unleashes the hounds of hell. Next thing you know, your finances are going crazy and your family's going crazy and the washing machine breaks down and you have a car wreck. And wait a minute, I thought I was supposed to get saved and everything was supposed to be great from this point on. By the way, even with all of that, it is still great. It's still better than being lost. It's still better than being in the world. And even when you're in the world, bad things happen. Amen. But you didn't have the Lord. And so what happens is God takes you on that mountaintop and lets you see a little bit of heaven. And then he has to build your faith and test your faith. So he takes you down. And sometimes, like Job, he just kind of takes his hands away and says, all right, devil, you get a little bit at him. But by the way, aren't you glad that the devil's on a short leash and that God can yank him off and pull him back anytime he wants to? And we are promised that we won't be tempted above that which we're able. But you know what? Sometimes he'll take you right to the edge of that. And that's okay, because you know what? We need to find out that we can do some things that we don't think we can do with God's help. And we can endure some things that we didn't think we could endure with God's help. And you know what? That God is faithful. And so we go through, and about the time we think we can't get any lower, all of a sudden the Lord steps in and he chases the devil away and sends some angels, some messengers to minister to us. And build us up in our faith and get us ready for the next great victory. And then God gives us a little taste again. And folks, let me tell you something. I don't know where you're at on that cycle, but I guarantee you, everybody in this room, somewhere on that cycle of growth today. Sometimes when we get down and going into this valley, remember this. Let me give you this number two. The most important time of your growth, the most important time, but also the most dangerous time in your Christian life, is the time you spend in the valleys. It is. I'll just be honest with you. It is. You see, Jesus had to face some things. Satan awaits you in the valley. Buddy, he knows how to push the buttons and he knows how to test you. I mean, Satan will come to you and like Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days and he offers to take a stone and turn it into bread for him. You know what? He'll come to you and say, you know what? Since you've been living a Christian life, you just haven't been very well taken care of, have you? I thought that God was supposed to provide your needs, and here you are hungry and things aren't going all that well, and you know what? Maybe you should just turn back. Maybe you should turn your back on God. Maybe you should go back to the old way. Now listen to me, in this valley, it's a dangerous time. And by the way, let me give you number three. God takes you into the valleys to have you make some decisions. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. I think the valley is decision-making time. See, Jesus had to make decisions. Satan came during that time. It was a difficult time. It was a hard time. It was a time of testing. And Satan came and offered all of the easy outs. I think he came to him and said, hey, let me give you what God's not been willing to give you out here in the wilderness. I can make that stone into bread. Hey, listen to me. I don't think God's been taking very good care of you, but I'll tell you what, if you'll climb up on this pinnacle of this temple, cast yourself out, I mean, you'll be okay, won't you? Why don't you do that? I'll take care. Why don't you bow down and worship me? And that's the whole point. You see, on number three, Satan's real intent comes out, because valley time is a time that you have to decide if God is really going to be your God. Now, let me tell you, listen to me. When you're up here on top of the mountain, it's easy to let God be God. Woo, God's taking care of me, man. The family's doing well. Everybody's healthy. And, man, I just got a raise, and this is happening, and this good is happening. And, man, alive, and I got to win a soul, and God's blessing my ministry. And, man, I tell you, God, I'll serve you the rest of my life. This is great. Well, what are you going to do when it's not so great? Are you listening? What are you going to do when you're not healthy? What are you going to do when things aren't going well? What are you going to do when you're down here in the valley? Listen to me. I think it's so important, because I remember when I read Job here in Job chapter 13, verse 15. Job said this: when he was down at the very bottom of the bottom of the bottom, he had to make a decision whether he was going to serve God or turn his back on God. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Now, if you understand that, if you really get the impact of that, listen, I think God sometimes takes you to the valley because he said, sure, you'll serve me when it's fun. Sure, you'll serve me when everything's going right. Sure, you'll serve me when the blessings are there. But what if I take these things away from you? Listen to me, Job. Will you serve me when you're at the very bottom? He said, God, you're stuck with me until I die. If you kill me, I'm going to die serving you. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Valley time is decision-making time. Valley time is decision-making time. The most dangerous time in your Christian life, though, awaits you in the valley. You've got to be very, very careful. I don't know who's where. Where you at? Where you at? You see, at noonday, it's easy to serve the Lord, but at midnight, it's a little harder. You know, Lester Roloff said, listen, don't sing loud on Sunday morning. Sing God's praises loud on Sunday morning. When the sun's shining, if you can't sing them on Monday when the clothesline breaks. Only just a few old timers got that, amen. You look at me, what's a clothesline, amen? Now listen, the valley's necessary. Brother Jerry, describe your Christian life. This is the way it's been. Am I right, Christians? I'm talking about those you've been down the road. How many of you have been saved 20 years? Over 20 years you've been saved? Has this been it? By the way, I'd like to think it's always this, but I think a few times I just kind of got stuck. going a little crazy. Because watch this. You're only going to go to a little higher mountaintop if you handle the valley correctly. Sometimes we have to do valley repeats. No, honestly, we have to do valley repeats. I'm listening. And by the way, I don't compare to Job in any fashion of the imagination, but I'm going to tell you something. I was thinking of our college students. I've been praying for those of you that are returning and those of you that are going. And I think it's in the bulletin, we're going to have a little get-together for them. 13th, I think, some of our college students, our Bible college students. Now listen to me. Let me tell you. See, Brother Jerry, what's my freshman year going to be like? Hard. Now, give me a little encouragement here. It's going to be hard. By the way, that is encouraging, because guess what your sophomore year is going to be like? Harder. Say, well, my junior year, then I'm going to turn the corner. Yeah, you are. It's going to become, this isn't good English, more harder. Well, what's my senior year going to be like? Hardest. You know why? Because it's the growth process. By the way, closer you get to the point where you're going to go out there and serve God, the more the devil's going to fight to try to get you off track. By the way, I'm talking about the kids that have went there and stayed and toughed it out, and they know what I'm saying is true. I'm trying to discourage you, because there's great things. I mean, is there mountaintops? Yes, but there's valleys. I remember my first 2 years, I thought, man, this is easy. Honestly, my first 2 years of Bible college, I mean, there was some difficult things, and I struggled in some areas. But overall, man, this is great. This is one huge spiritual party. I'm in heaven. This is great. I'm telling you what. Seemed like everything I touched turned to gold, and God was blessing here and God was blessing there. And all of a sudden, the third year, I'm telling you what, the bottom dropped out. That year was unbelievable. I don't know. It seemed like everything that could go wrong went wrong. And by the way, same God I was serving my freshman year, I was serving my third year. Same God I was serving my second year, I was serving my third year. And all of a sudden, just the bottom falls out. And I'm not kidding you. I found myself out in the woods at night, leaving the dorms in the middle of the night, going out in the woods and going out and crying out to God. God, what are you doing? What is going on? I'm just trying to serve you. Why is it so hard? I'll tell you why it was so hard, because he was putting some things in me. And folks, listen to me. There's some things that are never going to be put into you unless you go through some valleys. And Brother Jerry, I'm going to be honest with you. As a pastor, one of the hardest things in the world is to look around at your congregation and see people go through valleys. I pray for you. I wish I could do it for you. I want to come and fix it for you. But you know what? Having said all of that, I wouldn't take it from you if I could. Because as hard as it is, I guarantee you this. The next mountaintop's going to be so sweet. And you're going to get elevated to a point and used in a way that you've never been going to be. You'd never been able to be used if you didn't have to go through that. But I'm just telling you, folks, it's the way it is. It's the way it is. I look at these young people, and man, we've been able to kind of keep them here and secure them here and build a fence around them here and protect them here. And it doesn't mean that they didn't go through this cycle while they were here, but I mean, compared to what's ahead, I just watch them and I think, Lord, I don't know. But then there's a part of me that says, you know what? I wouldn't keep them for anything in the world. You know what? Because they're not going to amount to a hill of beans if they don't have to go out and face some hard things. And I guess what I'm saying this morning is, listen to me, young people and older folk, and no matter where you're at, because this cycle never stops. If you're going to continue to grow, this cycle never stops. Brother Jerry, I can't take it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because you know what? God doesn't send you to a valley. God goes with you in the valley. Amen. And he even says of Jesus that he was driven of the Spirit into the wilderness, and the Holy Spirit with him. You know, God will go with you through the valley. And you know what? You'll find God in a way you never found him before, and you'll learn God in a way you never learned him before, and you'll know God in a way you never knew him before by the time you come out of the end of that valley. Brother Jerry, I don't know if I can make it. Yes, you can. You can, you can, you can, you can. And by the way, at some point, God's going to come in. He's going to shoo the devil away. I want you to trust me on this. Brother Jerry, I feel like giving up. Don't give up. Because he's going to come in and he's going to shoo the devil away, and he's going to send some angels, and he's going to give you some strength and let you heal and help you. And then you're going to head up to a mountain peak that you've never been able to reach before, and you're going to see some incredible things. But listen to me. Don't get too comfortable up there, because you know what? If you're going to make the next peak, you got to go through another valley. It's just the way it is. What I wanted to tell you this morning was this. Be careful of the decisions that you make while you're in the valley. Now, you're going to have to make some. Let me just give you this advice. Make as few decisions as possible while you're in the valley. I don't think the valley's a time to make life-changing decisions. You make life-changing decisions on the mountaintop, and then you, by faith, stick with those mountaintop decisions when you're in the valley. A lot of times people get in the valley and they decide to move their whole family to another part of the country. In a valley, don't do something like that. Don't change jobs in the middle of a valley. Don't change ministries. Don't change churches in the middle of a valley. I'm telling you, I've seen so many people just going through a hard time, a tough time. They're in the valley, and all of a sudden they think, and you know what? They want to try to get themselves out, and instead of letting that valley experience go to fruitation and then God come in and then meet, you know, they're trying to find an escape route. Don't do it! But you're going to have to make some decisions while you're in the valley. You see. Now, I will tell you this. I believe this. The people that will be in church in this church, the people that will still be in church and still serving God in 10 years will be the ones that make careful decisions while they're in the valleys. Be careful. Be careful. The people that will still be on their bus routes. Not just during the mountaintops, but from mountaintop to mountaintop to mountaintop will be the ones that make careful decisions while they're in the valley. Be careful, be careful, be careful. I could sit up here and I got these listed. I'm not gonna go through them this morning. But I could sit here literally and tell you 10 stories of people, adults or teenagers, that went through a valley and in that valley made horrible decisions. And instead of letting that valley catapult them up to a mountaintop, that valley didn't make them better, made them bitter. And they've never been the same since. Well, it's God's fault. No, it's not. God will walk through that valley with you and give you the strength you need. I will tell you one story because I've been given permission to give it. Listen to me. We'll be done. Look right up here. Some of you know I talk from time to time about a buddy of mine, my old college buddy, Billy, that I'm in contact with. He called me here when I was at the camp 2 weeks ago. And he kept leaving messages, but when you're down in the camp, no cell phone signal can find that spot. By the way, it's a blessed place. It's a wonderful, blessed, godly place. You know, I think the angels have shields deflecting away cell phone signals so that we can all just concentrate on God. Amen. I come driving out of that valley after several days, and he had left a couple messages, and I called him up. He said, "What are you doing this week? Where you been?" And I said, "I've been preaching out in the camp." And I said, "There's 400 campers here." He said, "Wow." He said, "What are you telling them?" So I told him some of the things I'd preached on. And he said, "Brother Jerry," now listen to this, listen to this, listen to this. He said, "Brother Jerry, I'm going to pray for you." I said, "Yarn." He said, "Yeah." Now listen to this. I said, "Why?" He said, "Because there's somewhere in that camp, somewhere in that pavilion, there's a little 14-year-old Billy Spriggs. And his daddy's just left him. And his mama's trying to hang in there but having a tough time spiritually. And he's going through some things, Jerry, that I can't even tell you about. And he's sitting there and he's making a decision to go one way or the other. And where he ends up, by the way, Billy just turned 40 years old. He said, where he ends up when he's 40 years old is going to depend on what decision he makes that week in that camp. And he did. Before I could say another word, he started praying. He prayed for me. I appreciate it. How in the world do you end up in the valley of Armageddon with a bunch of swords and shields and guns and whatever else they brought there, going to do battle with God and be annihilated? How do you end up here? You make this bad decision. You make another bad decision. Make another bad decision. Make another bad decision. By the way, now things kind of take over. Well, I don't want to make this decision. Well, you have to. It's a result of these decisions. Well, I don't want to have to face this. Well, you have to, because now you're on the reaping end of these. Are you listening to me? Well, I want to change roads. Well, you know, sometimes you can. But there's still some things that you have to deal with. Young people, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Bad decisions and sin can be put under the blood, and they can be forgiven, and they can be erased from your eternal record. But you still have to deal with the results of them in real everyday life. Another bad decision, another opportunity, another chance. Almost did right. No, I don't want to do it. No, I don't want to do it. And here they are in this valley. And Jesus Christ has come on a white horse, and they're about to be annihilated. You know why? Because when they had the opportunity to make the right decision, they didn't. And when they had the opportunity again, they didn't. And when they had an opportunity to fix it, they didn't. And then life started taking over. And it just seemed like it gets harder and harder and harder to do right. Listen to me. You young people, you've got a chance to do it right. So do it.